Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Reed, and I am the new lead pastor here at Gwinnett Church. And I'm so excited for today because today we're kicking off a two-week teaching series entitled, What's Next? And I got to be honest with you, this is a question that I've been wrestling with a lot recently, like both professionally and personally. It's this question, what's next, right? Like for me as stepping in as the new lead pastor, I'm going, what's next for Gwinnett Church? I mean, how does one follow Jeff Henderson, right? Like, and how can I, you know, do my best to be myself while also honoring everything that's been built? Like, how do you do that? And then what's next for us as a church? And what's 2021 gonna hold after the year that we just have experienced thus far in 2020? What's next for the church, right? And not just professionally though, also personally, I've been wrestling with this question. I mean, my wife and I, this past year, we added a third child into the mix. And so now for the first time ever, we're outnumbered at home, right? And we're wondering what is next? What is life gonna be like now that we're playing zone coverage instead of man-to-man, right? And not to mention that, but also two out of our three kids are now, they're no longer toddlers, but they're becoming kids and they're stepping into elementary school age. And we've never had so much opinion and sass from these two. And we're wondering, what's next? Like what's this next stage of parenting gonna be like? And so it's a question that I've been wrestling with, but as I've been talking about it and thinking about it, and my wife and I have been chatting about this question of what's next, what I've discovered as I bring it up to other people is that this isn't just a question that I'm wrestling with. As a matter of fact, I've discovered that this is a question that a lot of us are actually asking in this season. It's what's next. And so, you know, maybe for some of you, you're asking what's next. You've been around Gwinnett Church for a while and you're asking what's next for Gwinnett Church. For some of us, it's what's next for this country. For some of us, it's what's next for my family. Maybe some of you are stepping into a season as first-time parents. Maybe some of you, you're going, this is the first time I've parented an elementary schooler or a middle schooler or a high schooler, or for some of you, you just sent your youngest off to college and now you're trying to figure out what's next in this season of empty nesting. For some of you, you're thinking about what's next in your career, because whether by choice or by circumstance, this year you've now had to change your career. And so you're wondering, what's next? What's next? Because now I'm gonna be starting over, or rebuilding, or retiring. And so what does the next season have in store? For some of you, you're trying to figure out what's next because this year you experienced great loss. And whether it was divorce or the death of a loved one or simply just the death of a dream, you're wondering what's next on the other side of loss and how do I even rebuild or move forward? There's a lot of us in this season that are asking this question and wrestling with this question, what's next? And you know, if you're not wrestling with that right now, here's what I know is that no matter what, at some point, all of us have to wrestle this question down, what's next? We'll all be faced with an unknown or an intimidating next step, a new season. And so that's what we want to talk about in this series is what's next. But here's what I know is that while next can be exciting and while it can be fun for some of you, for a lot of us, next, the idea of next and wrestling down that question, it's actually, it's pretty intimidating and it's pretty scary because come on, you know this, that what's next, there's a lot of what ifs that come with what's next, isn't there? There's a lot of what ifs, like, wait a minute, hold on. Like what if I'm not ready? What if I don't have what it takes? What if what's coming up and what's new isn't as good as what was before? Or what if I misstep? Or what if I fail and fall flat on my face? What if the new season isn't as exciting as the last season? What if? There are all these what ifs that come with what's next, and that can make new seasons and next steps intimidating, and sometimes the fear of what if can actually paralyze us from stepping confidently into what's next. And so that's what we want to talk about in this series. And I'm not going to attempt, I just got to put my cards on the table. I'm not going to attempt in this series to tell you what's next for you. I don't know what the future holds. If I did, then my name would be spelled G-O-D, not R-E-E-D. And so I'm not going to try to tell you what's next and predict your future. What we're going to talk about in this series is where do we find courage and what do we do now in order to step into whatever is next. That's what we're going to talk about in this series. Where do we find courage and what do we do now here in the present that gets us ready to take that next step? Whatever next step you're currently facing, that's what we're gonna talk about in this series. And in order to frame the whole thing and to ground our conversation and guide our conversation, we're gonna take a look at one of my favorite Old Testament characters, one of my favorite Old Testament leaders. It's the story of a guy named Joshua. Now, if you're not familiar with Joshua, no worries. I'll give you just a quick recap to let you know a little bit about who Joshua is before we jump into his story. You see, Joshua was the second in command, the aide, the assistant, the right-hand man to another famous Bible character, a guy named Moses. And you might know Moses from the movies, Charlton Heston standing, parting the Red Sea. That's Joshua was the right-hand man to Moses. And he was there for all the big moments, the parting of the Red Sea, the wandering in the desert, the manna from heaven, the water from the rock, the Ten Commandments coming down from the mountain. Like, Joshua's there and he's the number two to Moses. But where we're gonna pick up with Joshua's story is actually a moment where he's facing an intimidating and unknown next. You see, Moses has been leading the Israelite people through the desert, through the wandering, to a place that God has told them is called the Promised Land. And he's been leading them for years, for decades, and now they're right there at the edge of the Promised Land. And now Moses passes away and Joshua is tapped as the next leader. And he's gotta be wondering what's next. That's what we're gonna pick up in his story. He's being tapped and told it's his turn to lead. And so I wanna jump into the story. This is Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. So here's Joshua. And like many of us, he is standing on the edge at the precipice of a new and unknown, intimidating next. And you can tell from the tone of the conversation as God is speaking with Joshua that there's gotta be some fear going on, because God has to repeat a promise to Joshua three times. I don't know if you caught it. You probably did. You saw it repeated. But the promise that God repeats to Joshua is be strong and courageous. He says, be strong and courageous. And it's a command, which is interesting because it's like, can you tell somebody to be strong and courageous? Can you demand that of them? Apparently you can, because God does this with Joshua. He commands him to be strong and courageous. And I think that it's important to note that God is doing this because he knows that new and next will always require courage. New and next will always require courage, because as we said, there's just an element of unknown. There's all the what ifs that are coming, and Joshua must be wrestling with this himself because God commands him to be strong and courageous. And then the question becomes, okay, well, God, I know I need courage, but where do I find it? Like, I know I need it, right? Like, okay, God, I know I'm gonna need this courage, but where do I get it? Like, where do we find the courage to step into what's next, right? Like, I'm sure as God is saying these things to Joshua that Joshua is going, yes, of course, I know I need courage for what's next. I know I need courage to face the unknown. But God, where do I get this courage? Because sometimes knowing that we need courage and actually finding it are two very different things. And so I imagine Joshua's got to be going, where do I find it? Well, I'll tell you where a lot of us tend to look for courage. I know this is true for me. I think for a lot of us, we know we need it, but when it comes to looking for courage, where a lot of us tend to look for it is in certainty and in control. We think to ourselves, if I just knew what was going to happen, or if I could just control what would happen next, then I would be courageous, right? If I just knew what or could control what was going to happen next, then I would be courageous. And the problem with this, the problem with looking for certainty or control for the source of our courage, the problem is that, and you know this, like there are certain things that you can't be certain about. As a matter of fact, we've learned in this season that maybe one of the only things we can be certain of is uncertainty. And there will always be elements and there will always be variables that are beyond our ability to control. If 2020 has taught us anything, it's that the only thing that's certain is uncertainty, and that there's always variables that are beyond our ability to control. And so if we're looking for certainty and control to be the source of our courage, then we're grasping at straws. And so where do we find courage? If it's not there, if it's not in knowing or controlling what's next, then where do we get courage? The good news is that while God commands Joshua to have courage to face what's next, he also tells him where to find it. He tells him exactly where he can find it. As a matter of fact, let's go back into the verse. Let's go to verse 9. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is talking to Joshua and he says, hey, Joshua, I want you to have courage. And Joshua's like, okay, I know I need courage to face next, because new and next will always require courage. So God, I know I need it, but where do I find it? And God says, the place that you find it is in the fact that I'm going with you. It's not in knowing what is going to happen, and it's not in knowing exactly where you're going to go, but it's in knowing who's going with you. He says, Joshua, the source of your courage is not knowing what, but it's knowing who. He says, I'm going to be with you. And if I'm with you, Joshua, then you can have comfort in the chaos. And if I'm with you, then while you might face detours, they won't be dead ends. And if I'm going with you, you can have hope and uncertainty. And if I'm going with you, then you can have peace in uncertainty. And if I'm going with you, then even when things feel dark, there will always be a light. God says to Joshua, he says, the source of your courage, where you look for courage, it's not in knowing what or knowing where, it's knowing who is going with you. Courage isn't found, you guys, in knowing what's gonna happen or where you're going. It's knowing who's going with you. The source of our courage is not a what or a where, it's a who. And I've learned this more than ever before being a parent. My son, Miles, he's 4 years old and he is afraid of the dark. Don't judge him, he's four. Some of you are still afraid of the dark. But he's afraid of the dark. And so when we lay him down to sleep at night, we'll go in his room, we turn on a little lamp. He's got a night light. He has so much light. It's like he's fine with the lights on. And we'll lay him down. And then before we go to bed, my wife and I will go back upstairs. And usually he's fallen asleep and we'll turn the lights off so that the lamp doesn't, I don't know, catch something on fire. And so we're like, we turn all the lights out. And a lot of times lately, he'll wake up. And when he sees that the lights are out, we hear this little groan, this whimper, this wah. My wife will nudge me. Husbands, you know what this is like. It's like the worst feeling ever. You're like, no. And then you know you gotta go upstairs. And I'll go upstairs. And before, when this was first happening and he was crying and he was afraid, I would go through his room and I would show him. I would open up the closet door and I would go, see, there's nothing in your closet, buddy. And I would look under his bed. Nothing under your bed, buddy. I'd pull back the curtains. Look, there's nothing there. And then I would, you know, sit with him for a second and I'd say, are you okay? He's, oh, I'm okay. And I would leave. And as I left, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, we hear the whimper again. We hear the cry. And I would come back upstairs and I would say, Miles, like, you know, there's nothing in your room. And then he would say, will you just sit with me? Like, will you just lay down with me? And inevitably I would lay with him and he would fall asleep. And I've learned as a parent that it didn't matter that he knew that there was nothing in the room. The source of his courage wasn't in knowing what was in his room. It's knowing who's with him in the room. And he just needed his dad. And so now when I go upstairs, I don't go upstairs and show him everything anymore. I just go and I sit with my son. And that becomes the source of his courage. And that's the same thing that God is saying to Joshua. He's like, Joshua, there's no way for you to know what is on the other side of this. You know you're going into the promised land. That's a certain thing, but you have no idea the rivers you're gonna have to cross and the battles you're gonna have to face and the adversity you're gonna have to overcome. And even if you did know, I'm not even sure that that would encourage you. It might actually scare you worse. So here's what I'm gonna tell you, Joshua. The source of your courage is not knowing where or what, it's knowing who. And Joshua, I'm going with you. You see, that's the source of our courage, you guys. The courage to face what's next, it's not what or where, it's knowing who. And the thing that I love so much about this is that while this is a conversation between God and Joshua, while this is a conversation between them, and this is a promise God is making specifically to Joshua, it's not just a promise that God made to Joshua, because God has continued to make that promise again and again in scripture. And ultimately, he makes that promise in the person of Jesus. And Jesus, as he was, after being crucified and then raising 3 days later, as he's handing off the mission and ministry and movement to his disciples, and they're about to face an unknown and intimidating next of what it looks like to carry the mission and movement of Jesus without him present in the flesh. As they're about to do that, Jesus makes them this promise. And this is what he says. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus looks at this ragtag bunch of followers and he says to them, he says, there's something next. You're gonna take this mission and movement, and the way that you're gonna step into what's next, the way you're gonna find the courage to do it is by knowing that I'm with you. And what's crazy is that these guys believe it, because as Andy has said to us many times as a church, when someone predicts their death and resurrection and then they pull it off, you tend to believe what they say. And so they believed it. that God was gonna be with them, that Jesus would be with them, walking with them into whatever was next. And that was the source of their courage. Not knowing what or where it would take them, but in knowing who would be with them every step of the way. And that was true for them, and it's true for us today, and any of us that would put our trust in Jesus, we can be confident and we can have courage to face what's next, not because we know what or where it might take us, but because we know who's going with us. Our courage is in who, not what. And so I don't know what next you're facing. But what I do know is that whatever is next, whether it's as a parent or in your family or in your career or in this next season of life or in 2021, what I know is that you can have courage to face the unknown because you do not walk alone. Your heavenly Father is with you. And if he's with you, then just as we said of Joshua, you can have comfort when things get crazy. And you can have peace when things feel uncertain. And you can have strength when your legs feel weak. And even though things might get dark and bleak, there will always be a light because your Father in heaven is with you. And that's where we find courage. We know we need courage to face new and next. The question is, where do we find it? And God says, you can find it in me, in knowing that you do not walk alone, whatever you're facing. And some of you, you desperately needed to hear that today, that whatever you're facing next, whether it's the other side of loss, whether it's the other side of a diagnosis, whether it's the other side of a crazy 2020, you do not walk alone. And so what do we do with that? What do we do with that once we know it? I think it's really one thing that we're supposed to do with that, and that is remember. We remember it because, you guys, we're forgetful, and I think one of the biggest enemies to our courage is actually our forgetfulness. Forgetting that God is with us, forgetting that we're not alone. And in that, you guys, when we're forgetful, then our fear rises up and all the what ifs come back to the forefront when we forget that God is with us. And so what do we gotta do with this truth? We gotta remember it, and we gotta hold on to it, and we gotta cling to it, and we gotta keep it top of mind. I think that that's actually why God said this to Joshua. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's like he's trying to get Joshua to recall, to remember. It's a call to recall. It's a reminder to remember. He's going, I want you to think back on the ways that I had shown up before so that you can be confident that I will show up again. It's like he's going, Joshua, remember back to my past provision because that will be the best predictor of my future faithfulness. And so he's going, Joshua, look back, remember the Red Sea. Joshua, look back and remember the ways that I was with Moses. Remember the manna and quail in the desert. Remember the water from the rock. Remember when I led you by a pillar of smoke by day and fire by night. Remember how I was with Moses. He says, if you can remember that, then it'll give you confidence to know that I'm gonna be with you in the very same way. And so what do? We remember this promise. Now, for me, there are some things that I have to do in my life to jog my memory and to remember that when I'm facing an uncertain or an unknown next, when I'm facing an intimidating next step, when I'm facing the unknown of a new season, there are some things that I have to do to jog my memory and to help me to remember. And I just wanted to share some of those things with you, because maybe some of what I found helpful, you might find helpful as well. And so just a couple of things that I do to help jog my memory. The first thing is that I like to recite what God has said. And so something that I like to do is I'll take these words of Jesus where he says, and I will be with you always, even into the end of the age. And as I stand on the edge of a next or a new or a, something intimidating or unknown, and I'm asking myself, what's it gonna be like? And all the what ifs are swirling in my mind. What I like to do is I'll take that promise, I will take that truth, and I will repeat it and I will recite it so that it's top of mind. And I'll write it on sticky notes and I'll put it on my steering wheel in my truck, or I'll stick it on my mirror so it's the first thing that I see in the morning. I'll set it as my wallpaper on my iPhone, and I'll set it and just recite it and read it so that it's top of mind so that I don't forget it. That's one of the things that I do to help me to remember. And so maybe for some of you, as you're standing on the edge of something next, of a next step, of a new season, something that you need to do just to remember that you're not walking into the unknown alone, is that you just need to remember those promises. You need to write down Joshua 1:9 and you need to repeat it, and you need to recite it, you need to read it every single morning so that you have courage to step into what's next. That's one thing that I do to remember. Another thing that I do is I write things down. A great way to remember some of the stuff that's in here and to remember that truth is to write things down, right? It's the reason why you write your grocery list and you stick it up and you see it every single day. You write it down so you remember and you don't forget. Husbands, it's the reason why your wife gives you that little note so that when you walk in the grocery store, you don't just buy all the things that are really, really great because you're hungry. It's like you make sure you get the things on the list. You write it down. Something that I do to help me to remember that I'm not walking alone is that I write down two different kinds of lists. One, I write down like a recall list. I like to write down, and I keep a journal, and I don't write Dear Diary or anything like that, and this is how I'm feeling, although that's probably really, really healthy, and maybe I'll pick that up in 2021. But for me, what I like to do is I keep notebooks around my house, and I'll write in these journals, and I write down moments where I was so sure that God was with me. And I write down moments where God has come through in the past. And I write down moments where his presence was so close and so near, so that on the days where God feels like he's a million miles away, and there are days like that, and on the days where I'm tempted to forget that I'm not alone, and on the days where I'm tempted to doubt that that promise is for me, I can go back and I can look at these moments where God came through, where God pulled through, where I knew that God was carrying me, where I knew that God was leading me, where I knew that God was standing with me, where I knew that God had my back. And I look back at those moments. So something that I like to do is I like to keep a record of those moments. And then another kind of list that I like to make sometimes when I'm standing on the edge of an unknown next, or I'm standing on the edge of an intimidating new thing, something that I like to do is I'll get up in the morning and I'll write down things that I'm currently thankful for. And I'll just start to make a list. And as I write down things that I'm thankful for in the present, it reminds me that God is present with me. Because if there's things that I can be grateful for in the present, then he must be present with me. And so I begin to write down these things, and it jogs my memory, and it reminds me that I'm not alone, because there's stuff that I've got to be thankful for. So he's got to be with me in this moment, even though I don't necessarily feel him or see him. And so I write down these gratitude lists. And so maybe for some of you, just to jog your memory, you need to look back on some times in your life and you need to write them down where God came through. Or maybe just that for the next few mornings, you need to get up and write a gratitude list and write down some things that you're currently thankful for. And as you write down those things, it'll jog your memory to remind you that God is more present than he currently appears. And so those are two things. And then the last thing that I do that helps me to remember this truth that God is with me, the last thing is that I invite others to remind me. This is the power of community. It's the reason why we do small groups as a church. It's the reason why it's so important to be involved in the life of the church, serving and invested in community, is having people around you, because sometimes it's easier for someone else to see how God is with you than it is for you to see while you're in the middle of it. And so just the other day, this happened. I was coming for my first day of work, back here at Gwinnett Church as the lead pastor, and I knew that the way I wanted to start my day was by having some guys in my life come and pray for me. And so I invited them, a few of my friends, mentor, and I invited them to come and pray for me. And as they showed up to pray for me, I just had asked them to pray for me just wherever they were at, but they showed up at the office to pray for me. And as they came and they offered up prayers, they also shared with me reminders of how they've seen God leading me to this moment as the lead pastor. And so they began to just point out ways that they'd seen God like orchestrating this, ways that they'd seen God leading me, ways that they'd seen God standing with me, ways that they'd seen God growing me. And it was things that I was like, man, I didn't even connect those dots. I didn't even see that. I'm so focused on what I'm about to do that I'm forgetting that. And so it was powerful to have some other people point out God's presence with me that maybe I couldn't even see myself. And so inviting some people in to pray with you and to remind you can be a powerful way to remember that he's with you. So those are just some ways that we can remember the truth that we're not alone, remember the truth that he's with us so that our courage to take the next step can be stirred up. Now, I don't know what's next for you. I don't know what next that you're currently facing, but what I do know is that you do not have to walk alone. Your Heavenly Father has promised to be with you. And in that, you can find courage. You will not always know what or control what will be, but you can know who's walking with you and you can face the unknown knowing that you do not walk alone. So what's next for us, Gwinnett Church? I have no idea, but I'm confident and I'm excited. And I'm anticipating great things, not because I can see the future, but because I know who's going with us. And the one who's walking with us is the same one who put a vision in Jeff Henderson's heart for a church in Gwinnett County that would be known more for what it's for than what it's against. And the one who's walking with us is the one who strengthened our backs and our legs in the days where we were setting up and tearing down. And the one who's walking with us is the one who has graciously provided us with not one, but two permanent locations by which we can love and serve and reach our county. The one who is going with us is the one who has been changing lives, mine included, in and through this place. The one who's going with us is the one who's been leading us thus far. And he's gonna continue to walk with us each and every step. And in that, we find courage. So remember, as you stand on the edge of what's next, as you face your next step, that you can have courage. And your courage is found not in knowing what, but in knowing who is going with you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That whatever we face in this life, we do not have to face it alone. Thank you that whatever's next, whether it be unknown or intimidating, we do not have to face it alone. Would you give us eyes to see how you're walking with us? Would you help us to fight forgetfulness by remembering that promise? Would you help us to cling to it, to hold tight to it? Give us courage for the days ahead. Give us courage for whatever's next. We love you. We trust you. And it's in your name that we pray.